Welcome to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by thesoberclub.com. I'm Genuinely Grace. This is for you if you've quit the booze or you'd like to, or maybe you're just sober curious. I'll bring you tips and motivation without any judgment, and there'll be inspiration from experts, quitlet authors, and sober heroes. Hi, and welcome to the Alcohol Free Life podcast. I hope you're well. We're kind of back to normal on podcasts, I think. What a week, my goodness. It was so sad to see the death of Dave Myers from the Hairy Bikers. I loved their stuff. We met them a few times, and they came in on BBC Radio 2 to chat about various books or TV things they were doing. Just such a lovely guy, both of them just so lovely. So that was another little bit of heartbreaking news this week, really sad. And still the tributes are pouring in for Steve Wright, just constantly getting emails from people saying, I cannot believe he's gone. Thank you so much for all of your messages, everyone who's messaged me over the last few weeks. And also the response I got to the podcast, the first tribute podcast I did, where I gave you my little metaphor for the 7 days. If you haven't listened, go back and have a listen to that. This week, I've done a show as well for Kinda Sound Radio. It's a community station. They're doing some fantastic stuff, and it's just online. So check that out, because this week my guest is the lovely Sue Stone, who I've had on the podcast, of course, before. Sue is just an amazing light worker. She really is. She's just a ball of positivity. And whenever I'm feeling a little bit down and anxious, and when the imposter syndrome starts to creep in, which it does for us all from time to time, I kind of have Sue's words ringing in my ear. So have a listen to that show on Kinda Sound Radio. If you get the opportunity, there's lots more in-depth stuff there around how we can focus on the life that we want, how we can focus on this whole concept of what we focus on will create what we get more of, right? This your thoughts create your reality. Thank you so much to those people who came along to our Family Constellations group in York last weekend. Oh, what a magical day. You know, small group, but just absolutely magical. I had a wonderful response to that. Just really, really amazing. And so we're hoping to put another Family Constellations Day on probably April. It's likely to be in Hertfordshire, and it's likely to be Sunday, April the 21st, but that's to be confirmed. The day before, Saturday, April the 20th, is likely to be a workshop day, sort of half workshop, half vision board day, sort of half workshop, half retreat. So I'm just about to get that information put out there, so have that in mind if it's something that you're interested in. Our sober coach training weekend at the end of April is pretty much full, but get in touch if you think you are the person who's going to take the very last space. I always think that these things, if they've got your name on it, then it's meant to be, isn't it? I'm a very big believer that the right people show up for all of these things. And while we're on dates, I wasn't planning to tell you everything in one go, but while we're on dates, April the 10th is very likely our Alcohol Free Life podcast and Sober Club meetup. You don't have to be a member to join us. We're going to be in London. So again, check thesoberclub.com, check events for that. And we'll have everything put there as well. So you know where to find out about all this stuff. You go to thesoberclub.com, click on events, then what's going on is usually put there first. So this week I thought I would love to bring you a chat that I had absolutely ages ago. I can't pretend we've done this interview recently. We did it a while ago, and then other things kind of came in and needed to be broadcast at a different time. So it's been quite a while since I got to chat to the lovely Esther Nagel. I've known Esther quite a long time. I absolutely love her vibe. She's a true kind of rocker, and I love the way that she's kind of infused her love of rock and roll and music and just the whole kind of cultural thing into the way she does her coaching and just a whole bunch of stuff that Esther gets up to. She's a fantastic person. She also did a absolutely wonderful session for for our sober coaches, for my sober coach training program. So I'm really grateful to Esther for that as well. So I really hope you'll enjoy this interview with Esther. Don't forget, by the way, moving forward, if you have someone that you think, you know, Janie has got to interview that person. And if it's someone that you can introduce me to, even better. I really want to be able to constantly bring you the guests that you find inspiring on this podcast, the guests that have got a story, their own story to share, some fantastic tips or information or advice or whatever to share with us. And don't forget, you know, just a reminder that this is for you. The Sober Club is for you as well. If you are sober curious, if you're literally just dipping your toes into all of this and just thinking, I don't know if I can do it. But if you're right at the very beginning of your journey, then all of the stuff we do here is for you. But if you've been sober for 10 years, 15 years, it's still for you. Because, you know, I really believe that we all of us need to keep the connections. We need to make sure that we are surrounded by like-minded people, that we're constantly reminded of the need to focus on the fact that our thoughts create our reality. It's really important. We really all need to stay connected. And I don't mean that in a kind of hanging on for dear life way. I don't mean in terms of my sobriety, that I'm nervous that if I'm not connected, I'll start drinking again. There's absolutely no way I will ever drink again. It's not that. It's that I want to be, you know, that lovely phrase. It's Jim Rohn, wasn't it, who said you're the average of the five people you spend most time with, something like that. Which can be scary sometimes, you know, depending on how your life pans out. But you know, I think that can include the people you connect with. So whether that's online or whether that's on the phone or whether that's, you know, your Facebook community or the podcast you listen to, it all counts. It's really not so much spending actual time with, it's more what's filling your head, what inspiration is going in there, what are you hearing all the time. That's what I think is the most important piece. They're the most important pieces to count. So those pieces of your life need to be, you know, as we would say, high vibrational. We need to vibrate at that higher frequency. We really do. If that sounds utterly woo-woo to you, then think of it in a different way. You basically just need to focus on good happening. You know, particularly if you are someone who ends up being surrounded by people who are quite negative. You know, which can happen. It may not be anything to do with you. It might be that your family members, the people you live with, the people you work with. So you end up spending a lot of time with people who are, you know, what's that expression? You know, people are either radiators or they're drains. And if you end up spending a lot of time with people who are drains, they're draining your energy, then you have to find ways to put that back. And listening to inspirational podcasts, listening to experts and authors, being connected. In the Sober Club, there is so much positivity and it's completely non-judgmental. So, you know, do come on board, get connected, whatever stage you're at. But meanwhile, enjoy the interview. Well, I'm really pleased to say my guest is Esther Nagel, who has got some really interesting stuff to share with us. And I just noticed, Esther, you're sober for 9 years. 9 years. That's so cool.
October the 12th is my the day I celebrate.
Still count your days. Yeah, lovely.
I love celebrating.
I love that. I just love the fact that after so many years it's such a thing. It's still such a thing. It's amazing. So let's go right back. Let's find out a little bit about you. And you know, I've seen lots of your social media posts and you always look like you're having great fun. I know you're a bit of a rocker at heart. I often see you at music festivals or whatever. So we definitely have to talk about some of that. And you know, you wear a few different hats, rather like I do. In fact, you're wearing one today. But you know, rather like I do a few bits and bobs. But yeah, let's take it right back then. Tell us about your story, because I know that, you know, for you do consider yourself in the past an addict. You would use that word. Addict, yes. Or even alcoholic for in the past, is that right?
Yes, it's very much in the past. Yeah, I didn't see it when I was deep in it. I remember a friend of mine telling me once that I was, and my answer was, no, I'm not, you are. As if, you know, only one of us could be, and it certainly wasn't going to be me. And then when I stopped drinking, so I stopped drinking when I was doing yoga teacher training, and I just got to a place where I could see the damage I was doing to myself and to my life. I could see the way that alcohol was getting in the way of me doing the things that I wanted to do. And I just decided I wasn't going to like do that to myself anymore. And then as I kind of moved and sort of dug deeper into why I was drinking and who I was and all that kind of self-reflection that I was doing, I could see then very clearly that he was right, that I absolutely was an alcoholic. But
How
I'm
do you
not.
define that, though? You know, because it's an interesting question that, you know, it's a really interesting question for me on this podcast, because, of course, you know, there are lots of people within this kind of space, if you like, that get upset that I don't use the word alcoholic, and that I believe that you absolutely can be free from the alcohol trap. I absolutely do not believe that someone is an alcoholic 35 years after they've stopped drinking alcohol.
I just
yeah. And I've had some quite in-depth, you know, debates about that, because that's not everyone's view, right? So but it's very much my view, and so I'm always interested when people who agree, you know, obviously you agree with that, but you still use the term alcoholic, do you, for where you were
to describe where
then?
I was, yes.
So tell me what defined that back then. Would you say you were kind of, you know, were you clinically dependent, in inverted commas? Were you not functioning? What was going on?
It was so for me it showed up as the only thing that I could, the only coping mechanism that I had, essentially. If I was having a difficult day, I needed to drink. If I was having a good time, I needed a drink as well. You know, it was kind of how I dealt with it. I didn't drink every day. I could, you know, I got through my day. I had jobs. I raised my son. I was functioning perfectly okay to the outside world. But if I was stressed, if I was hanging out with friends, alcohol was at the core of pretty much everything I did. You know, my jobs that I had were paying the bills and paying for me to buy wine. That was and weed as well. I was a big weed smoker as well. But yeah, it was just like if life was difficult, particularly if life was difficult, that was it. There was nothing else that I could turn to. And so there was an emotional dependence. It was never a physical. I mean, I'd sometimes wake up with the shakes, you know, because I'd drunk too much the night before, or I'd been on a bit of a bender for a few days. But it was emotional dependence more than anything else. I just didn't know what else to do. And my social circle made binge drinking look normal.
Yeah.
And so if I was going to my friend's house and I'd had a really, you know, if I'd had a rough day, there was in sober October, the sober October 2013, I tried to do that. I was having a horrible time of life at the time, going through a really nasty family court you know, childcare issue with my ex. And on, I think it was the third day of October, I had this court day. I went to my friend's house completely strung out. She presented me with a bottle of wine, and I knew I wasn't planning on drinking for that month, but I was powerless. And then that was the end of that. You know, so when life was hard, all I had was alcohol.
Yeah.
And
back then, I'm you know, it would have been even harder for you, because there wasn't, you know, even 9 years ago, there wasn't the level of awareness that there is now around sort of grey area drinkers and people who are drinking more than they want to. There wasn't that level of awareness, was there? I don't think anyone was talking about being, you know, sober curious or drinking mindfully or choosing not to drink, or and certainly they weren't talking about life being better without alcohol.
No, definitely not. No, absolutely not. And the idea of saying out loud, I need to stop drinking, was scary. It was a frightening thing to admit. It was a weird thing to admit. And because I'd spent years drinking this way, making sure that that was my norm, when I started to talk to my friends about, I think I need to stop drinking. I'm going to stop drinking. I've got to do this. Their response was, but you're not an
Yeah, you're
alcoholic.
not that
Why should you
bad.
stop? They're not that bad. Yeah. I mean, they didn't know all the times I was drinking
Yeah,
on my
of
own
course.
in the house
Yeah,
anyway. So nobody really knew how bad it was. But it was, there was no other, and they couldn't see how I could possibly ever have fun again. But I'd been going to see bands and staying sober by choice for a few years at that point, because I realized, it was much better if I could remember it the next day. So I was very often, I volunteered to be the designated driver. So I already knew that I could have fun. I could still do those things without drinking. But it was really weird to tell people. Yeah. And I'm very glad of the, because there were a lot, quite a few American women that I found who were talking about sobriety. Not lots, but there were enough to make me think, hey, so this is almost like what some people do, so therefore it's okay for me to do it. Yeah, if it hadn't been for the
Fantastic.
internet and those people, I'm not sure I would have felt so comfortable about it. It was.
Yeah, exactly. Because it just it for so many people, certainly back then when there was less around, it and even when I and even when I got sober, even before I finally did it 6 years ago, that there really was that sense that you're either completely at rock bottom, not functioning at all, lying in a skip, pouring vodka on your head, and you need medical intervention, or you're perfectly fine. There's nothing in between, and nobody talked about it. And then, as you say, if you do raise it with friends or whatever, even with a GP, the vibe is, well, you aren't that bad, meaning, well, you aren't in a skip yet. So clearly you must be completely fine then. That spectrum is so rarely spoken about. Thank God it is now a little bit more. Thank God. But so you did some yoga. Teacher training, a yoga teacher training course, right? Tell us a bit about that then. What, how, why do you think that was the thing that kind of, was the catalyst for change?
So the yoga teacher training was my solution to a complete breakdown. So I saw that as a way to just live a bit of a calmer life. I knew that my life wasn't working. I just hadn't tied it all to the drinking at that point. And it wasn't just the drinking, there were lots of other things. But this yoga teacher training, one of the main things that I've always put it down to is learning to breathe properly and just that calming and having that control over my emotions. And then once you start breathing properly, you start to notice what your body's doing when you're stressed. You notice what it feels like to be calm, and having that space between I'm stressed and I'm gonna react. Just gave me that bit of space to think, okay, so this is happening. What do I want to do about it? Rather than, oh, this is really bad, I'm gonna get a bottle of wine. It also, I had to do a lot of journaling, a lot of reflection, and I wrote these. We had to do a lot of essays, and my essays basically, I think, turned into a kind of stream of consciousness self-therapy that my poor yoga teacher then had to wade through and try and figure out if I actually understood the yoga. But I was using these essay questions as journaling prompts, and I was unpacking so much. I basically did, I think, 6 months of self therapy on myself. And I'd healed a lot. By the time that final hangover came, I saw myself completely differently. I mean, there was a lot around gratitude and, accepting the negatives and looking for the positives in the difficulties and looking for opportunities for growth. And I was just seeing myself in a really different way. Like I had really low self-esteem when I started that course. And the whole thing, the physical stuff, the emotional stuff, all of the practices I was doing was just giving me a better connection with myself
Yeah.
and
Yeah.
allowing me to see myself as someone worthy of care, which
Yeah. Yeah.
I'd never done before. I
No,
thought I
no.
was, I just thought I wasn't a very good person, you know. I didn't think that my body required care or deserved care. I didn't think I deserved care. And yeah, it was just this beautiful kind of coming into myself that the yoga teacher training gave me. So
Yeah,
by the time
fantastic.
at that last hangover, I was lying on my sofa reflecting on all the things I couldn't do because I'd drunk so much the night before. And I was just saying, I deserve better than this. I got to that point where I actually deserve better than this. And I can do this now. I can give myself this
Yeah,
better.
and in the early weeks after you stopped drinking then, were there any challenges? You know, did you find anything difficult to start with, or had you sort of, do you think you'd kind of done enough of the groundwork so that you were able to, I don't know, just kind of adjust your mindset enough to be able to get through those early weeks when, you know, let's face it, the neural pathways are set, aren't they? So we've got to kind of recalibrate everything.
Yeah, well, I think this is where the yoga really came into its own because I tried in the past to control my drinking. I tried doing the Sober October the year before where I was, it was all about not drinking. And one of the things that I'd learned through yoga is that whole like what you focus on, you know, it's like if you focus on the thing you don't want, then it's a
You'll
lot
get more of
harder to
that.
get what you do want. So what I did instead of, because I knew myself quite well by this point, you know, I'd really got to understand myself. So I knew that if I said to myself, I'm not going to drink, that would last 3 days at the most. So I instead focused on I'm staying sober. And so every day I told myself when I was lying on the sofa that day, I was like, right, I'm going to stay sober next weekend. Because at that point, I was only drinking really at the weekends anyway. So I decided I was going to stay sober that weekend. And then every day, it wasn't just the weekends then, but every day I'd be going to bed and I'd think, I'm going to bed sober tonight. And I've brushed my teeth and I'm going to remember going to bed tonight
Yeah, great. So it's
and
focusing on all those
focusing
positive
on those
benefits. Yeah, I
positives.
love it.
And then in the mornings, I was waking up thinking, I can remember going to bed. I feel good. My mouth felt just like normal morning breath instead of, you know, I drank too much and my lips were red and I may have eaten an ashtray, kind of horrible taste in my mouth. So I was really focusing on these little tiny benefits that I was getting. And then at that point, for the first few weeks, I wasn't even thinking this is forever. I just knew I didn't want to make myself suffer the way I had that Sunday morning and that I was staying sober tonight. You know, I'm
Yeah,
going to stay
exactly.
sober tonight.
You're so right. When you focus on the positives, this is the message I try and put out all the time is you're right. We spend so much time often telling ourselves what we can't do. It's like when you go on a diet, isn't it? You know, I must not eat that biscuit. I must not eat that biscuit. Or I'm going on a diet. I'm going to start my diet tomorrow morning. And then that night you have, way more food than you would ever have in a month. And then and the next morning, even though you wouldn't even normally eat till midday, by 10 o'clock you're ravenous because you think you're depriving yourself. And it's the same thing, isn't it? That sense of deprivation. But when we focus on what we're gaining, it's so different. So different. And what about your friends then? What about the kind of your social situation when you stopped? Did that, were there any kind of shake-ups around friendships that had to happen?
Well, not my friendships changed, certainly. The things that I do with my friends changed. A lot of the people that I would spend evenings with in the pubs kind of disappeared from my life to a large extent. You know, I don't, but they weren't the close friends. The close friends, the friendships changed, but they're still friends. The friends that, you know, and I made new friends as well. But yes, the really good friendships. I know that the friend that I mentioned earlier on, who told me that I was an alcoholic, he was like my primary drinking buddy for years. We now go for walks together. Another friend who was a you know, all of my friends, drinking buddies, but another one of them, we go and watch films together, or we go for meals together. And you know, I my my close friends now, they might not invite me out to the things where they're going to be drinking all night, but that's fine. I don't really want to do that anyway. But I can still enjoy their company, and it doesn't matter that we're not drinking together. And I've made a lot of new friends now, people who've never known me as a drinker. And I love that I got to reinvent myself
Totally,
almost.
yeah. And I'm guessing that, you would say, as we all do, that in terms of being a parent, the difference is incredible. And that's my biggest regret, that I didn't do it sooner. So for you, it must have been great that you were able to be a present parent.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I got my youngest son, he's nearly 14 now. He was nearly four.
Great.
What was he? Yeah, so
So he's
he was
only
four when I stopped drinking.
brilliant. So he's
He's
only
got
really
no
known you sober.
recollection of it. He can't
Fantastic.
remember. My 27-year-old, he saw too much of me drinking, and he suffered from it,
But now he's
without a
seen you
doubt.
turn it
But
around, so that's a good thing too, isn't it? I had this conversation with someone the other day, actually. It's quite an interesting one, when for those of us that, do have that real sense of regret for what I mean, we can't change the past, right? Of course we can't. We have to forgive ourselves, and we have to recognize that, it has to be the right time. But I do think that this person that I was talking to was feeling really that this kind of massive burden of guilt and shame for the years that she perhaps wasn't the best parent, and because she was drinking. But I don't know what you would say, but my kind of take on it was, well, we can't change what's happened, but the really amazing thing is that in many ways that's going to make your child, or grown up as he or she is now, much more resilient, because they've seen you come through something really hard, and they've seen the change, and they've seen the literally the, as you say, reinvention. And that's actually very powerful. Because none of us are perfect, and everyone's going to rock up against something. And the fact that they've seen you overcome that is that's a huge blessing. I'm not saying we should all be raging drunks just so that we can then get sober to give our kids a lesson. But let's reframe this and bring a positive from it. And I think it really is a positive. And I'm
It is,
guessing
yeah.
your son is probably quite proud of you.
I think he is, He and he's, I mean, he's drunk in the past. He's dabbled with other things as well, but he's never really. He doesn't enjoy getting drunk. He doesn't enjoy, he likes to be in control of his mind. He's got a very good brain at that, and he likes to be in control of it. And I think the other thing, like what you were saying about just now, is that we get to model self-forgiveness as well, which I think is a
Exactly. Yeah,
really important thing.
absolutely.
You can say to your kids, look, I'm human, I'm gonna mess things up, and
Exactly.
make amends for any pain. You can do a lot of reconciliation if they've suffered, and you can make amends for that. But you can show them, like, I forgive myself,
Yeah,
and then that gives them
and you're now
permission to
putting in
forgive
place self-care.
themselves
Yes,
as
exactly.
well.
And as you say, the sobriety really is it really is self-care. And what better gift do you want to give your kids than if they see you taking care of yourself? That's a huge thing to model, really. And because we don't do it
Absolutely.
when we're drinking. I mean, my God, I used to think that drinking was my self-care. How
Yeah, me
terrifying
too.
is that?
Yeah,
It's really
soaking the
scary.
bath with a bottle of
I
wine.
know, I know. What the hell? tell me, excuse me. Tell me about your the kind of music that you like, and some of the kind of music stuff you do, because it always looks fun.
I love rock music. You can see my Beatles poster in the background.
Oh,
I
okay.
love
Yeah, 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 yeah.
the Beatles. George Harrison in particular, he's my love. But I do love modern music as well. I like mostly rock and folk and sort of punk folk as well. Anything I can have a good dance to,
So
generally.
do you go to quite a lot of gigs?
I do. I go to gigs. I'm going to two next week.
What are
I've
you going to
managed to get
see?
my son. We're going to see Mary Hell, who are a kind of folk folky punky band, I think. And we're going to see Gogol Bordello. Well, I'm going to see Gogol Bordello. My son isn't going to see them, but I'm going to see Gogol Bordello as well. I'm very excited because I wanted to see them for years.
You're so right that you know, being able to remember gigs. I mean, I used to go to gigs absolutely all the time, and it was only, I forget when, but my husband said to me, we were just talking about some gig or something, and then he said, I can't remember who it was now, but he said, oh, do you remember we sat right near the front? You know, I could not remember even going to the gig.
It's awful,
and it was somebody really famous. I can't remember who now. But what the hell? I actually could not remember the gig.
Yeah, it's terrible.
What a total waste of an amazing experience.
Yeah.
Really scary.
I've got too many like that. My discovery that I like going to gigs sober was a complete accident, because I was going to see Queens of the Stone Age one day, and I went to see, they were in London, I was driving, and I went to see another band the night before, and I didn't want to drive to London with a hangover, so I said, all right, well, I'll drive. And I didn't even know this was Super Furry Animals. I didn't even know them, and I had the best night.
Yeah.
And I danced completely sober to a
band. As I always say to people, you can still dance sober if you could dance before.
I danced better.
You can dance before.
Yeah, I think I dance better now. I dance more enthusiastically. You don't have to keep dashing off to the toilet, running to go and have a cigarette, get another drink.
Yeah.
I love it. It's just
fantastic.
So much more fun now.
Yeah, brilliant. So tell us a little bit about the stuff you're doing now then. So you're now working as a coach, and you need to tell us where the name comes from, Red Shoes Recovery.
Yeah,
tell us
Red
about
Shoes
that.
Recovery. So, well, that, so my take on recovery and sobriety is a bit of a reaction to the powerlessness idea that is in the 12 steps. I had this moment of complete enlightenment when I was in a yoga teacher training class years ago, when I was, before I stopped drinking, that I had the power that I needed. It was, you know, nobody else was going to do it, and I actually knew that I could do it. And I read a book last year by a Dr. Lance Dodis, I think his name is. Mm-hmm. And he talks about addiction as a powerlessness, and recovery and sobriety as actually empowerment. And I really believe that. I think that you need to empower people to believe
absolutely.
That they can
absolutely
actually live without alcohol, that they can enjoy their lives. And it's actually a really empowering thing to do it.
Yeah.
And so I was in January, I started doing my coach training, and I was trying to think of a name for my business. And I was out walking. I was on a winter walk, a 26-mile walk in London. And
that sounds like
for some
a marathon.
Reason I was, yeah. It's like, I do daft things like this all the time. I was thinking about the whole empowerment thing, and I had all these ideas around empowerment going on in my head. And then I suddenly thought about The Wizard of Oz and the line from The Wizard of Oz, about you had the power all along. And then Red Shoes Recovery just kind of plopped into my head. I don't have a pair of red. Well, I do now have a pair of red shoes.
I was going to say, we need a picture of you in red shoes, for goodness sake.
Yeah. So I sort of sat with that for a bit, and I just kept thinking, it's just brilliant. It's brilliant. I love it. So it became Red Shoes Recovery.
And also, I love the fact that, you know, there's a kind of connection to things being magical and sparkly, because let's face it, it is, isn't it? Sobriety really is. And I love the fact that you kind of... that focus, as you say, is on feeling empowered. And that's absolutely my take on it. I really feel frustrated when people, it's not so much in the early weeks, because of course it's completely understandable, but when you meet someone who perhaps has been sober for, I don't know, a year, 2 years, and they're still focused on this, I'm going to grit my teeth for one more day. You know, I don't know. I don't know what it will be like next week, but I'm going to hang on, you know, and keep on asking, you know, for support that I can stay sober for one more day. And so I won't go near the pub. And I mean, what a terrible way to live.
Yeah,
you know,
it's
just not acknowledging that you can be completely free from this.
Yeah, I know it's really sad. It's a and it's that focus. I didn't want to say it earlier. It's that focus on the absence rather than looking at what's good about your life now. I think it feels like you're trapped there. I feel like if I was still thinking like that, I'd still feel trapped by it. You know, it's. I'm sure
You
that
and
it
I,
works for some people, but I can't.
that's,
I'm with you on that
well,
completely.
I mean, it depends. Of course, it depends on what you've been exposed to, doesn't it? And I think it's really so important to be have connection and to be exposed to that the positive side of things. In fact, I think you and I both commented on a social media post when we were talking about Adele and her comments recently. I mean, that's I don't know, I can't remember what you said on there, but I think it's really sad because I suspect that her environment is such that she probably does not have access to that sense of connection and positive sobriety and freedom. So for her, it probably does feel as though, oh, I can't drink. You lucky ones, you can. I can't. How sad.
I mean, I was talking to a friend of mine who's in a band, and he was saying that it's on the times when he doesn't want to have a drink, it's he has to be very conscious, and you have to make that really firm decision to refuse the drinks that are kind of everywhere
Everywhere.
in that environment. So, I mean, if you're going into it thinking I'm suffering because of this and this is making my life really boring, it's really hard
Yeah,
to
it is.
going to be
And as
really
we said
hard to do
earlier,
it.
you'll get more of what you focus on then. If you're focusing on that sense of deprivation, that's what you're going to find, isn't it? It's very interesting. Anyways, I love it, Esther. Thank you so much for sharing your story. It's lovely. Maybe we'll meet up at a gig one day.
Oh,
I
I
don't
would love
do anything like as many as I used to. I used to do gigs all the
that.
time, and
Yes.
it's not because I don't drink, I don't go. I just kind of end up not doing it so much. But anyway, maybe, and I guess you do festivals and things, do you, as well in the summer?
I love festivals, and my son really enjoys festivals as well because
That's
he
cool.
can cope with the noise a bit. But it's a bit loud for him in some gigs, so he enjoys festivals because it's more open and
Yeah, you can do your own thing. Fantastic. Brilliant. So yeah, just give us your website then, Esther, and where people can find out more about your work.
So I'm on redshoesrecovery.com and I'm on Facebook and Instagram. I don't do Instagram very much. I'm more on Facebook, and that's also Red Shoes Recovery, so you can find me
Fantastic.
there.
Brilliant. Thank you so much. I
Thank
really appreciate
you.
it. Take care.
Thank you
Thank
very
you.
much.
So just a reminder then that if there's someone you'd like to hear on the podcast, drop me a message. If you can connect me with them, even better. There are a few people that I would absolutely love to have on this podcast. I'd love to have a debate with Tim Spector. A lot of the stuff that he talks about, I love. I love the take on gut health and, a lot of the things that Tim Spector talks about, but I so do not agree on the oh, glass of red wine is good for the heart, BS. Somebody on the Sober Club posted a picture that popped up on her Couch to 5K app the other day. She'd done, I don't know, however many kilometers on Couch to 5K, and it actually popped up and said, "Well done, you've now burned enough calories to earn yourself a glass of wine." I mean, how utterly crazy. I mean, literally crazy. Like, well, here's your reward. Just some toxic liquid, just to kind of undo everything you've just been doing, which is focusing on, being out in the fresh air and doing something that might be good for your heart health. Let's now blow it all with something completely toxic that's gonna, exacerbate anxiety and God knows what else. Don't buy into this BS. We constantly hear it, don't we? We constantly hear it. It's not true. It's marketing spin. Don't believe it. As I've said so many times, if if you want antioxidants and polyphenols and resveratrol, then have some grapes, or an other fantastic, really good, nourishing plants, basically, or fruits. You absolutely don't need the toxic liquid, so don't buy into any of that. A reminder of our events: we have April the 10th. We have penciled for our Sober Club meetup in London. We have 20th for a workshop day, workshop stroke retreat in Hertfordshire. We have 21st pencil for constellations. None of these confirmed at the moment. So I'm just asking you to put pencils in your diary. We have our sober coach training. That's kind of full, but get in touch. And then there'll be another one, probably the end of June, beginning of July. So if that's something that's of interest to you, then do get in touch because we can have a chat and we can get you, you know, to see how you feel about doing one further down the line. It's just super exciting when I work with people who want to do this, because just watching the change in people, watching the personal transformation, and then knowing that they're going to be able to go on to raise awareness about people drinking too much, they're going to be able to go on to support others. It's really fantastic work, and it really is so unbelievably fulfilling. So don't underestimate the power of going after what it is you say you want to do. Once you've ditched the booze, it's really magical how things open up for you. Things start to feel possible. So if you are early stages of ditching the booze, then reach out for support. Tell someone. If you don't feel ready to join us in the Sober Club, that's okay. Just reach out. Let me know you're doing this. Contact Alcohol Change UK if you want to check out things that are perhaps a little bit more formal than we can offer here. Just get yourself connected, get support, tell someone. If you don't tell anyone, it's just you and the wine witch. And you know what? The wine witch will win. You need that connection with, you know, at least five or whatever it is, people who are like-minded, who have been on the same path, so that they can inspire you and support you moving forward. And if you've been sober for ages, but you're just thinking, you know, I want some of that joy that she's on about. If that hasn't kicked in for you, then start to think about what it is you really want. What is it you want more of in your life? You know, sometimes we don't know what we want. That's why I'm going to do this workshop day, probably 20th of April. I want to do a workshop day around feeling empowered, around focusing on what it is you want. It's going to be about creating a vision board, ditching the limiting beliefs, because that's usually what holds us back. But of course, many people don't really know what they want, do they? They actually don't know. They've not really focused on what it is they want for so many years. They've been people pleasers and just kind of sorting everyone else out. But when you come back to, well, what do I want? And if you don't know, then ask yourself, how do I want to feel? Because that's a good starting point, because it's the way we feel that's going to drive our actions. And of course, we want to feel balanced, we want to feel happy, we, you know, all of the things that we all want to feel. But ask yourself, what is it for you? And when you do feel like that, what will that actually look like? What will that mean for you? So sow those little seeds and check out thesoberclub.com. And I will see you same time next week. Thank you for listening to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by The Sober Club. Please rate and review. And if you want support, accountability and inspiration, and you want to live your best life without the booze, check out thesoberclub.com.